family for let me be a part of their family. The Helm family would fill up this room, but I haven't talked to them in probably 18 months. But this is my home and my family, and I love you all. Amen. Appreciate it. Amen. Draw me nearer this evening. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious pleading side. Let's all stand. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Amen. Let's sing us What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and then we're going to take up our offering, and then I'll let you sit down. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble we should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Think about this. Do thy friends sighs and shake me? In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a soul to spare. Amen. Brother John, can you help me see? Appreciate you.
Precious Lord Jesus, we thank you for once again bringing us to your house. Lord, we pray you just have first place, Lord. Bless tonight. Speak to our hearts, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, we just invite your presence to be with us tonight, Lord. We don't want to take it for granted, Lord. Use our brother, Lord, in a mighty way tonight, Lord. May he just be a vessel. Lord, yield it, and you can use him, Lord, as a mouthpiece. Speak to our hearts, to speak to the needs. Lord, we commit the rest of the service into your hands, praying you bless the tithes and the offering for your honor and your glory.
We remain standing. Let's sing a song and we'll bring Brother Wade out and get this underway. Amen. Apologize for holding you up. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is a Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Jesus, hold my hand. Listen to this. Let me travel in the light divine that I I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be wholly thine and sing redemption song someday. I will be a soldier brave and true and ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Oh Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold me to him again.
God bless you. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, and say, good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to hear that good music playing behind me. Bless you, Brother Iron. The brothers Roberts. You doing okay back there in the back? You good? Okay. You just head on back there. We'll wait on you. Amen. Well, we had a good time this past weekend. Amen. We had an absolute wonderful time. I was telling Brother Boyd, it's just good to have two men like that that's got my back, that I can go to and talk to. And that's exactly what they said. So they got my back. So they've been through it. They've been pastors for years. And Their wisdom is beyond measure, and so I like talking with them and conversing about the word of the Lord, and they sure are good friends. But it was good to hear them this weekend. And Brother Chris, I'll see him again tomorrow. We're going to go down and see Brother Edlin. Brother Barry's not doing very well at all. He's in Augusta Hospital, and some of you may not know him, but that's Brother Mike's kind of right-hand man. That's his brother-in-law. They've been together forever, and he's not doing well at all. So we are going to meet Chris down there and have a word of prayer with him in Augusta tomorrow. So just remember that. Remember all these needs. Thank you again for the weekend that we did have, where everybody worked and done the things that they did. I thank you so very much. Remember, Brother Luis and Christina will be leaving for Honduras tomorrow, and we'll be praying for them. If you got a little extra something to give him to take with him, just do it unto the Lord. If you have a little something for him, they sure would appreciate it. And I know it'll go toward the work of the Lord. Brother Joe has posted the itinerary for next weekend, not this coming weekend, but the next weekend at Brother Andre's. And then he's made hard copies, and they're back there where the prayer request list is. As you go out the door down the steps, he's put them there for us. And that's your itinerary. They'll tell you what time we're going to start and what time we're going to eat and what time we're going to have fellowship and what time we're going to have church service. There will be no church service here. There's over 60 people going already, so that wouldn't leave a lot here. But if anybody else would like to go, Sunday will be the last time. This coming Sunday will be the last time you can put your name down, because I I reserved 10 rooms today up there. They're having, you know, remember last year, those of y'all that went, they had a baseball and a softball tournament, so we couldn't hardly find rooms. Well, they're having some big concert at one of the big auditoriums, and the rooms are full. The Carnegie rooms that are used to be $90 and $100, they're $300 a night. Per night. So we're not staying there. Unless you just want to go ahead. You go right on. There's only two king beds left. That's it. Out of the whole motel. And they're $300 a night. So have at it if you need to. And like I said before, some are going to get... June and I got Airbnb, and I think the Anderson family, if you can find one, that's fine. We'll talk about that after service, about what to do with that. So, but we do have some 10 motel rooms, and then we have the itinerary in the back. Listen, we're not going as guests. We're going to help. They have we're bringing more than they have in their whole congregation. So we're helping them with the food, and we're helping Sister Kay get the food ready for Friday night. Saturday will be a meal before the service and then snack after. And then Sunday, going to the farmer's daughter. They've already reserved that big room that they did last year if you'd like to go. Now, the church is providing the meals while you're there at the site of the camp. But other than that, then you're on your own, all right? So remember that. Breakfast will be up to you. Lunch, but we'll have a meal Saturday night. And then if you want to go to the farmer's daughter on Sunday, that'd be fine. But I have those 10 rooms secured. If you want to go, please let us know ASAP. All right, let me just make sure I've got all my stuff done. Eleanor Roosevelt said, if you lose money, you lose much. If you lose friends, you lose more. If you lose faith, you lose all. If we have no hope of an afterlife, if we have no hope except what we're living in this world right now, that's why the world's going back crazy out there, because they have nothing to live for. There is an end. All they see is an end and nothing else. And we as Christians just see this as an introduction to the beginning. Amen. It's an introduction to the beginning. So good to have our visitors with us. Good to have Kaylee and Aubrey with us. And there's another one back there, but I don't know. No, I know where they are. There's one with Sister Trudy. Yeah, the sister there. Good to have you with us, sister. And God bless you. And if you come with Trudy, bless you anyway. He said right. But good to have you with us. Just enjoy the Lord as he anoints you. You just say amen if you want to, or oh me if you want to, and we'll have a happy time. So, but God bless you. Like I said before, we're looking forward to this next coming week, not this coming weekend, but the next. So just get all that together. Like I said, there's over 60 people already signed up. So if any of you else want to go, that's fine. Come up on Saturday. Tim and Esther and Chris and them are coming on Saturday. If you can't get there Friday, come Saturday, but you need to let us know so we can prepare the food and or get you a place to stay. Or you may not have one, so because there are not any motels in Johnson City, that many motel rooms left. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us, for the hour that we're living in, Lord. It's a late time, Lord, but we still have human things we have to do, Lord. We have to get up, go to work, and we have to do these things that we do, and Lord, fellowship with one another, Lord, around the Word of God, going to Brother Andres, Lord, we count it a privilege to be associated with our brother, and Lord, I pray that you'd be with them, Lord, and keep them strong. They're absolutely excited and ready for us to come, Father, and I pray that you would give them supernatural strength and bless us, Lord, and give us a good time as we go, Lord. But tonight, let's set aside a few minutes, Lord, and you speak to your people, Father. You do the speaking, Lord, and let us do the listening. I pray that you'd bless the visitors that are among us, Lord, that you'll give them something, Lord, to take away from the service, Father. We ask you to bless the ones that are sick, Lord, the ones that are not here, Lord, the ones that are watching in, Lord. I pray that you'd be with them and bless them. Bless Brother J.T. Pageant. He just came out of COVID. Now his wife has it, Lord. So let's just remember Sister Patsy tonight and in a special way, Lord, And we ask your blessings on her and each one, Lord, that is sick. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're on the Son of Man. We're on the Philadelphian church age. Now, for those of you that are visitors, there were 7 church ages in the Bible. They were in the book of Revelations. You can read them for yourself, Revelations 1, 2, and 3. You will see that God brought a message to a group of people. He brought it to the world, but only a group of people is going to receive it. All right? And only a group of people is going to receive this message. And he gave us 7 stars in the hand, which are 7 messengers. He gave us 7 church ages. And you and I are in the last one. There is no other church age. We are in the Laodicean church age. And boy, do not we know we're in the Laodicean church age. Blind, wretched, miserable, naked, and didn't know it. All right? But now we've come through the church ages. And now we're in the Philadelphian church age, which is the messenger was John Wesley. And we'll talk about that just a little bit. So let's read our scripture. And we've been reading Revelations 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha. What is that? Alpha is the Greek first letter. Omega is the last. So it's I am the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the 7 churches which are in Asia. Now we want to compare that too with Paul. Paul sent messages and letters. Your whole New Testament, he got the Old Testament, wrote letters to churches in the New Testament, and that was the Bible. That was the Bible being written. When he'd send some to the Corinthians, that's what went in the Bible. When he'd send some to the Ephesians, that was in the Bible. So this was letters. So there's nothing new about sending letters. And send it to the 7 churches, which are in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. God has now amorphied into his bride. Now, that's a big word for you, but it's still, he just moved over. He changed his form because God is one. God is one. He is not 2 or 3. God is one. He just moves over into another office, just as I am a father, and then I am also a son, and I'm also a human being. I'm one person, but I can move over into the different offices. I'm a husband. Different titles, but there's only one name, which is my name, and which is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we come under, because he's our headship, and that's why we baptize, as the Bible tells us, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Jesus said. He said, baptize in the name. Amen. Father's not a name. Son's not a name. We've never been through this, but I don't see how people are so blind. I guess I do. And gird about the paps with a golden girdle. You may be seated. Just bored to have y'all standing so much. You blame him. Amen. If Regina Arline had been here, she'd have been talking about you. She said, that's old people need to sit down. Yeah, they'll stand up 3 hours to get in line to ride Six Flags. Hello, somebody. Revelations 3, verse 7. It's just what you want to do.
Amen, brother.
It's just what you want to do. Okay? What about that group of people in the Bible? They found a new piece of the Bible. They found a new scroll. And they stood for 6 hours. Stood for 6 hours. Outside. To listen to what that piece of paper that they had found said. Well, praise the Lord. Let's go about 3 tonight and let's see how that'll work. Revelations 3, verse 7 says to the angel. Now, here, there's a message sent to an angel or a person, one man. God uses one man for every church age, and he sends that message to that man. That man sends it to the people. All right, the people catch the revelation, and then there are pastors and apostles and prophets and teachers and different ones that catch the same vision, and they go forth to the people. Right. All right? So the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right? These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. We'll try to get to that this evening. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. See, my name.
Right. Amen.
Man, when the name of Jesus Christ is revealed to you, that is a name, you go all through the Bible and you look at that word that says name, name. The whole family in heaven and earth has got a what? A name. And it's what? Jesus Christ. All right? Has a name. You're identified by your name, not your title.
Right.
Amen. Many fathers in here. Raise your hand if you're a father. We're all fathers, all right? Now, but there's only one Bob Black. So I said Bob Black, so everybody knows I'm talking about him. Right. Many fathers. I say father, everybody goes, what? But if I say Brother Bob Black, I'm speaking to you directly. That's a name attached to it. And that's why the whole family in heaven, the earth, is named Jesus Christ. We are even Mrs. Jesus Christ. That's why we don't take on some other name. When we get married, we lose our name. And you become who you're married to. And we know that spiritually to be Jesus Christ. Behold, I will make of them the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. We'll get into that not next week, but not tonight. Keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon what? All the world. So it's promised we're going to be tempted. To try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. To him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God. Remember, God's not a name. Am I preaching to the right congregation tonight? Okay, thank you. Thought I may have moved out and somebody else moved in. And I will write upon him the name of my God. God's not a name, it's an object of worship. God's got a name, it's Jesus Christ. Which is New Jerusalem, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, not the one over there now, New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, I will write upon him my new name. Amen. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So we have our chart, and we're in that age where it says John Wesley, the age started in 1750 to 1906. John Wesley was the messenger. And we'll read about him in a minute. But you see, Luther and Wesley, they're very powerful men because what happened was is during that middle age, number four, see how dark it is. That's a darkness of the depths of Satan. But it's coming out of it. To come out of it, you need a strong man like Luther and Wesley. But remember, they are reformers, not prophets. So they can't take every doctrine and make it correct. They just don't have enough strength to do it. But you and I have that strength to do it now. We have the four combat beasts, the lion, ox, man, and eagle. We'll get to that in just a second. And remember, when you talk about a church and the Bible, a lot of times the Bible, as Brother Chris was preaching Sunday, Scripture has a dual meaning. It can have a literal meaning, and it can have a spiritual meaning. All right? So same way with this, the dominating church, which was the dominating female, I'll promise you, if you'll read the book of Proverbs, it was written by who? Solomon, with 1,000 wives. He knew something about women. Maybe not so much mother-in-laws, but he did know about women. And he told you a lot of things to be careful about a woman. Remember, it's better to live with an ox in your house than a brawling woman. I'm just telling you what he said. Let's take that spiritually, though. Because what happened was spiritually, Satan got into the weaker vessel. Did that not happen in the Garden of Eden? Satan didn't go to Adam and say, hey, Adam, I got a new program for you. He went to Eve and said, Eve, I got this new program for you. And she took it. Same way with the church. There's this new program. And guess what? Satan presented it to the church, and they took it. Now, church and bride is two different things. Everybody with me? There's churches all over the place, but there's only one bride of Jesus Christ. And she is not a dominating female. You and I are all female in the body of Christ. See, there's your dual meaning. We're all feminine in the body of Christ. We have a head, which is Christ. And we do what he says. We don't dominate him. See, the world out there dominates him. They don't tell me what to do. Come on, somebody. Don't tell me what to do. I know what. I'm a cat. No, I feel like a dog. They can't even be human anymore. You think that's normal? Everybody thinks that's normal, you know? That's normal. It's not normal. It's perverted. And it's Satan. He made a man and a woman. Man never had a baby, ever. So there's a difference in the two species, or the two sexes, okay? Just for the new people. So now, there be a question. Now let me explain something. I'm trying to slow down a little bit because of the ones here that's new and fresh. God wrote seven seals in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, Revelation 6 and 8. What happened was that there was something that he wanted to make private or secret until the end time. Right. All right. So he sealed it up and put a stamp on it, and there was something written, but you couldn't see it. Even Paul said, I look through a glass darkly. I'm looking through into something, but I can't make out the words. It's kind of fuzzy, kind of like my new glasses. If I take my new glasses off, y'all fuzzy. But I can still hear you. See there? So there was seals, there was something in the Bible sealed up that man had never looked on before. And then what happened in Revelation 6, verse 1, the Lamb opens the seal, shows it to John, and shows John symbols. Right. Everybody with me? Symbols. Horses, ox, man, eagles, leopards, all that. It's a beautiful picture if you look at it and know by Revelation. But it is hard to understand if not by Revelation. Right. All right? Angels, where are they? What are their estate? Where'd they fall from? What are they? There are no women angels. They're all men. All those different things that we praise God that we had a prophet to tell us in the end time. And then we looked in the Bible and said, man, that's exactly what it said. Right. Amen? So we thank God for that. But there was something sealed up. Well, during these church ages, there was a ministry loosed in every church age. Paul was the first church age messenger. There was a message loosed from God. Paul caught the mind of God and spoke what God said. All right, so if we're Christians, we should be very, very, very used to that. If you're a Christian, because we live by somebody catching the mind of God and speaking it by revelation, and then you catching it by revelation. All right, but now remember, God can't speak anything. He hates false doctrine. So you won't get a false doctrine out of God. Because Satan can do the same thing. Satan can get in this head too. This is his playground. Greatest battle ever fought. Right here. Not out there. Right here. He can get in and muddle it up, and you can speak something that's wrong. That's what happened in Nicaea and the different ones. They went to Nicaea as a one true and living God doctrine, as a water baptism in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. I proved it to you. I read it to you in all the... Even in your history, it shows you that the baptism was according to the Lord Jesus Christ until they changed it at Nicaea, Rome. Right. Well, who changed it? Does God change? No. Does God make a mistake? No. God's perfect. Amen. He never made a mistake. So he didn't go, oops, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. He's not like us. Right. When he thinks it, he speaks it, it happens. And I depend on that. You should depend on that. You should put your soul faith on that God never changes. That God never makes a mistake. Every move he makes is calculated before the foundation of the world. So it does not bother him when things happen. He knows they're going to happen. So there's a ministry that's loosed, and it's loosed in stages. God is a gracious God that he just didn't. As we, even in high school or in grammar school, we're sitting in grammar school and we're learning 1 + 1 = 2 and John and Mary and Spot go to town. I'm sorry, some of you young kids don't know what that is, but it was a reader book that we used to read out of. And it was John and Mary and Spot. Who was it? Dick and Jane. I said Dick and Jane. Dick and Jane and Spot. Thank you for the preachers on the first, second row. But that's what we had when we were growing up. But now we left that. Right. We left that and got into something a little bit deeper. Right. We didn't lose the foundation, but we didn't go to high school in the ninth grade and you got the same reader you got in kindergarten. Right. No, the curriculum changed. Right. Why did it change? To help you develop. Because we're going to get into that. when we talk about justification and sanctification, I found something a little bit ago that's really going to help you if we get to it. But I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. So one of the seals had to be opened so that we could see what was going on. And there was four combat beasts, according to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel said that there was a lion, ox, man, and eagle. Everybody with me? Lion, ox, man, and eagle. And those were anointings, one Holy Ghost, but those were anointings or powers to help us through life or to help someone through a dispensation. A lion, a roaring lion in the first two or three church ages to where they could speak boldly and God would back them up. Right. But now you come to the fourth age and we see the fourth age, the second beast was an ox. And he was very powerful, but yet slow. Right, but that was needed in that age that it was sent to, which was the fourth church age. And then there was a red horse went out, or a power went out, to actually literally kill people. And if you look back in your history, this is not something that is hidden. But if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, 68 million Christians were killed by the Roman Catholic Church during the Dark Ages. About 1,500 years. They prove it. They say they did. But they say they killed them because they weren't their Christians. And that's exactly what it was. They were true Christians being killed by the Catholic Church. Literally killed them and then killed them more by their doctrine. Because that doctrine is still here today. Come on, somebody. That doctrine rode all the way up to this day right here. Where they still do the novenas and they still do the, pay so much money and get Uncle Ray out of purgatory. He's burning down there. You got to give him some money. If you ain't got enough money, give us some. We'll get him half the way out. Silly, but it's what they go by. There's no such thing as purgatory. Show it to me in the Bible. There's nothing. They worship Mary. Show me that in the Bible. Good grief. Mary had to go to the upper room to get the Holy Ghost. So the fifth and sixth age, which is where we're at now, I was trying to hurry my way back up to here. So there was a third seal open, and there was a third beast stood up and said, which was in the form of a man, which man is what? Intelligent. All right? A lion is intelligent to a degree, but it's a brute beast. All right? An ox is intelligent to a degree, but it's a beast. All right, but man has come up now. We've got some intelligence going on here, and we've got some real intelligence where something can be developed. But let me tell you something. That person on that black horse, he wasn't developing the truth. He was developing error. He was developing the false vine. He was developing the false church. Satan wants the church. Satan wants to be in church. He's in this one now. If you're not born again, you brought him with you. Sorry. We'll get into that in a few minutes. A little black horse, and he said to him, had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, measure of wheat for a penny, and see thou, measure of barley for a penny, see thou that you not hurt the oil and wine. God spoke himself, and he said, listen, the Holy Ghost is going to come out of this age and going to be strong in the next age coming. Right. Oil and wine signifies the Holy Ghost, right? And the power. The Holy Ghost and the power behind it. Now, the black horse rider, that was the Antichrist. But one speaking was represented by a man. So now you got Luther and Wesley. And during those two periods of time, we don't have them up here. But on those two periods of time, man, it was like accelerated growth, accelerated intelligence. They went from horse and buggy. And then they come up 1906, they had cars. So they went from horse and buggy to some cars and then not a plane to an airplane and different ones all the way up. Well, listen, as man moved, God's already moved. Man don't move and then God reacts. God already knows what you're going to do. He's already there to react before you even get started. So Martin Luther, he sent a man named Martin Luther on the scene, and Martin Luther is considered as the most influential figure in Western and Christian history. Why? He was just like Moses. Moses went to the backside of the desert. He was one man. He actually was convicted of murder. He killed an Egyptian. He ran away. Well, 40 years later, here he comes back. a one-man invasion army with a stick and a donkey, a woman, and two kids. That looked healthy. But that's exactly what he did. But that's exactly what Martin Luther did. Martin Luther took the little bit of the Word of God he had, and he said, I am going to go to the largest group. Of course, he came out of that. Of course, Moses came out of Egypt too. Remember, for 40 years, Moses was tutored by Egyptians. All right, so he had that mentality in his head already. So he goes back, loses all that, meets God at the burning bush, and God tells him, says, go on down there, Moses, and take over. Make sure you take that stick with you, and you're going to go down there and take over. So Martin Luther, what he get? He got the Word of God. The just shall live by faith, not by novenas, not by penance, not by going to a priest and have him prepay for your murders. That's what they do. Pay him a little money and go to the confessional booth, and then you go out and do your business. It's just all garbage, but we know that. But there's billions of people that are Catholics, and there's some good people in there. Really are some really good people. They're just blind, though, because if you become part of that system, you get caught in that system, then it's your fault. Same way with us. If we get caught in a different system, it's our fault. I'll read something to you in a minute about that. But Martin Luther, he comes out and he takes and he says, all right, Catholicism, everything you built on, and I was a part of it, so I know your system. See, God took a man out of the system so he could know what the system was. He took Moses out of the system to give Moses a chance to look, and it'd be very familiar when he went back to Egypt. Same way with Martin Luther. He comes out, he goes back, puts a thesis on the wall, and he says, come out of her, my people. The just shall live by faith, not by anything else. And he turned the world upside down. He started a reformation, or a protesting of one of the largest denominations, I guess, or Christian, supposedly Christian part of the era of the time he was in. He went against them. He read this scripture right here, I'm sure, Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And they were reformers. The prophet of God tells us that he was a mighty preacher, teacher of the word. Insisted, especially in his first years of public eminence, that the word was the sole criteria. So he was against works as a means of salvation and baptism as a means of regeneration. He taught the mediation of Christ apart from man was the original and Pentecostal concept. So he caught the revelation of the Word of God for his time and for his day. And the just shall live by faith. So that seed that was planted in the ground, that went into the ground in that fourth church age, it was getting ready to bring life back up. It was getting ready to put two shoots out. It was beginning... what? To bring that plant back to where what? Man can see it. You can't see a seed when it's laying in the ground. It's covered. It's hid. But once it pops up, you can see what it is. And you see the characteristics coming up. And that's what it was. And God was pleased to dwell in that position. He was pleased to dwell in Martin Luther just as he's pleased to dwell in me and you. It's just that me and you have a different responsibility than Martin Luther. We have Martin Luther plus. Everybody with me? So the doctrine of justification, let's just cover it now so I won't have to miss it. The word justification, everybody with me? Everybody with me? I'm up here. I'm not down here or back yonder. I'm right here. Look this way. Thank you. Pay attention in church. You may learn something. Justification is the act by which God. All right, so that rules everybody else out. That rules everybody else out. All right? Pope, priest, preacher, pastor. The act by which God moves a willing person. Hold on a minute. There's the key. a willing person from the state of sin, which is injustice, to the state of grace, which is justice, and justifies you. Amen. Everybody with me? But now remember, a pardon is not a pardon until it's accepted as a pardon. God don't just justify you because you went to Calvary and you're just absolutely justified. The will of the person, your free will, ask God to take your past sins and listen, and not just cover them, eradicate them. Amen. Everybody with me? That's justification. Baby form, where you realize you lost. You realize you need somebody to erase your past. And God will erase your past if you'll listen to him. Now listen, that's erasing in here, not here. Because this is the battleground. This is where God says, you're justified. You say, praise the Lord. Satan says, you did so and so. You did so and so. I was there when you did it. I'm gonna be what somebody said the other day. I want to be the one that kicks him into the hole. I want to be the one that kicks him into the hole. I hope he's screaming and kicking and got cancer and diabetes and all that other stuff hanging on him. I'm sorry. I wished he could get saved, but he can't. He made his choice before the foundation of the world. Wow. So there's no good. Justification is no good until accepted by that person. So Martin Luther is saying, look, you've got to put all your trust in Jesus Christ. Put all your faith. Quit looking at a church. Quit looking at this. Quit looking at that. Look to Jesus Christ. Amen. And God counted that as righteous in that church age. But now me and you, it declares us righteous for the moment. Everybody with me? It declares us righteous for the moment because the unclean spirit has not left yet. It's still there. And it will still motivate you to do the same thing you did the day before you got saved. We're not trying to reform you. We're trying to get you saved and let God change you. There is no reformation in Christianity. You can have all these programs you want, and that's fine. We've got some friends that do that 12-step program for alcoholics, but they'll tell you up front, you're an alcoholic. Don't go to a bar. Well, I thought you were trying to help these people. I promise you, you get under the power of the Holy Ghost one day, and those things I used to do, I don't do them no more. I don't have to go there. I don't want to go there. The one that did make me go there ain't in there no more. That's true cleaning out and putting the Holy Ghost in. You can't teeter on the edge. Can't play with God. We'll get to that back in just a second. I wanted to clear that up. It's the act that God moves a willing person from sin, injustice, to the state of grace, which is justice. All right? So remember, Luther was not able to lead the church back to the whole truth, as would a man like Paul, who was both apostle and prophet. Martin Luther was not a prophet. He did some things as a prophet. He healed the sick, all those different things. He had miracles in his life. But he wasn't a prophet of the word. He wasn't a word prophet. He had the word for his time. I've not found your works perfect before God. That's the reason there's a church. It's a temple of God filled with God, even the Holy Ghost. The same spirit that was in Jesus while he was here on earth, causing him to do the mighty works that he did, came back upon the church at Pentecost so that they did the works that he did. Now, this age did not have those works. Oh, they had the written word, but not the revealed word. That was the Reformation period, or that was what we call an unfulfilled time during Martin Luther, because he didn't get all the way out. He still took doctrines that were in the Catholic Church, held on to them, but then brought the new, the just shall live by faith. All right? So let's get through this. So the meaning of not perfect is what? Unfulfilled. Now, I was thinking yesterday, as we were studying back before, you're going to have to go back in your mind, but remember when we come to the part to where church and state married, all right, which was Constantine took religious Rome and civil Rome and put them together, all right? Everybody with me? There was a marriage. There was a marriage during that time of church and state, which is what? The depths of Satan. But praise God, Brother Bob, in the end time, there's a marriage of Jesus Christ and his bride. This is going to bring God back to the earth, not false doctrine. That's mine and your commission. That's what we're here for. We're here to get married. We're here to get married with Jesus Christ, though, not get married with civil out there and the world out there. We're supposed to get away from that. Is everybody with me? But praise God, that's our command to marry Christ and then do his bidding here. Not marry church and state back again. No. That was the bad. That's what Satan wants to do. And he's still doing it now. He brought it right up to here. But listen, God brought his bride right up too, praise the Lord. He's got a bride. He'll have one in every church age. And even though deep, dark, whatever it is out there today, there's still a church age. There's still a bride that is sitting in that age, but she's called out into heavenly places. Amen. Only in Christ. Revelation 18:4 says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her. Her, now what's her? We go back to her and woman. We go back to church. Come out of that church, my people. And be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Amen. God hates false doctrine. We should hate false doctrine. We should love the people, but not partake of the doctrine that they have. Amen. Caution yourself when you listen to doctrine. Check it by the Holy Ghost that's inside of you. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, be careful. You will get caught in that doctrine. But remember, Satan can't cast out Satan. Satan loves Satan. So if he's inside of you, you'll love that thing. Now look, the Holy Spirit has been bound by denominations for 2,000 years. Now notice the seven Sabbaths. They couldn't get all the way out, as we were explaining the other day. Back in the Old Testament, you had 7 years that you would work, and then at the end of that 7 years, there was a release. There were certain things went back to zero, not everything. Right. So you counted 7 of those years. 7 times 7 is 49 years. At that 50th year, everything that you bought, sold, in debt, everything went back to zero. That's what we're looking for. That's our Sabbath day. It's not on a Sunday or a Saturday or a Wednesday or a Tuesday or whatever. Amen. We're looking for that day when we can be released, where everything can be released. Amen. Will it release you of your problems? No, sorry. It'll show you how to handle them, though. Amen. You won't get all that wowsy-wowsy-woo junk going on if something comes your way and it ain't right. Mortar blows up. To me, that's just Murphy's Law. If you don't know Murphy, just do something. He'll show up at your house. Right. Ask Dave Ramsey. He'll tell you about Murphy's Law. Right. When you do something, Murphy will show up. Yep. So let's keep Murphy out. Well, listen, what did Paul say? When I do good, evil's present. Right. Hello? When I do good, evil is present. In other words, you're not immune from that. We know where it's at, though, and we know his tactics, we should, and we know what to do with it when he starts to make a move. All right? Flee from the thing. So the first three ages brought us the pure word of God. The fourth church age went into the ground. The word went into the ground at Nicaea. It got eat down or eroded. But God said, I will restore. Jesus said, promised right here. Except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it will abide alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth you and me. Amen. You and me. Amen. We're the fruit. Amen. Jesus said, I am the what? Vine. You're the branches. Where does the fruit grow on? Not the trunk. It grows on the end of the vine. I mean the end of the branches, but vines if you want to talk about grapes. So something had to die so that something could live. Right. In all of Christianity, something has to die so that something can live. Right. All right? You have to die out to yourself so Christ can live inside of you. Amen. Not divorce, not like I said, reform or suppress. We're human beings. Try to suppress something. All of a sudden, one day, it'll go, oh, I'm sorry, I'm preaching to the wrong people. Pray for me. Amen. When I do good, evil is present. Amen. But we deny that, right? Joel says, I will restore to you. We are in a time now of restoration. Now, we know that Luther and Wesley were reformers, but they began the restoration process to get us back to grain again that went in the ground. Now, listen, who was the seed that went in the ground? Jesus Christ. Except a corn of wheat die and go in the ground, it'll abide alone. Amen. But if it comes forth, it'll bring forth what? Much fruit. And I will restore to you the years that the locust eat, the cankerworm, caterpillar, palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you, which is the same bug in different stages. So Moffat's definition was, I will make up to you for the years, or I will repay you for the years. Listen, God doesn't owe us anything but to take you home to glory. He's repaid your time. Amen. Amen. He repaid Brother Dale's time. Yes, sir. He put him in a condition that the devil can't even get nowhere. Don't even know where they. Brother John, that place ain't even. Don't even. The devil ain't even been in. Amen. Amen. There ain't many places on this earth the devil ain't been in. Remember, he told Jesus that, or God asked him, said, "Where you been?" He said, "Oh, I've been walking up and down the earth. I've been walking through the coals of fire. I've been visiting your kids." He said, have you considered my servant Job? Amen. Right. But we're going to look and see now, as we go into this reformation, we're going to look and see that God give us a word now of progression to bring us from shoot to branch, or shoot to stalk, to tassel, to full corn. There's something going that's going to be a progressive revelation, just as in Ezekiel 47:2. The water was to the ankles, took them out a little further, to the knees. That's what we're trying to do. That's what Brother Chris and Brother Mike and all the different pastors around the country, they're trying to get their people out in the deeper water. I hope they are. Amen. If not, you're going to be shallow at the ankles, but you're still going to be in the water. Can't deny it. But if I want to go swimming, I can't do it in ankle-deep water. You can't either. But God gave us a revelation showing us that we can go to the ankle, the knees, the loins, the head, swim in the water. So that's what he gave us. He started in that first church age to reform the Christians back into believing what Paul believed, but they couldn't get everything. Because remember, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm going to bring back, not in the second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth age, but the Alpha Bride is going to be the same as the Omega Bride. The Omega Bride is going to be the same as the Alpha Bride. The only difference is we're not plus. They were plus because they were plus the next church age. We have to come to a seventh seal end. That's from a long way from now, but we have to come in this age. You have to realize we've come to an end. a seventh seal, end of all things, where there's silence in heaven. Satan don't know what to do with you. Now, Brother Ryan tells us about the last three church ages, which we're getting into. Of course, we got one already done and getting ready to get in the other one. Now, that three elements that worked in those three church ages. Now, we're talking about Luther, Wesley, and Laodicea, with a small little Pentecostal age in between. That's what it takes to constitute the full birth. So God's brought the new birth in Paul's age. Now, he's going to bring the real revelation of the new birth back in our age. Remember, Luther's birth was, he was justified by faith, and he believed that. He put his faith in that. And the people that were with him put their faith in that. That's what put them in the body of Christ. They believed what their prophet said, or what their teacher, he wasn't a prophet, but they believed that that new doctrine. Catholics never taught it. Paul did, because he wrote it. But it got eroded down through time. Man had jumped in and put his idea in to where now you got to pay for your justification. You got to do the penance. You got to, you know, do the Hail Marys. You got to do the rosaries and all that stuff. No. Martin Luther said, no. The just shall live by faith. It says it right here in this Bible, and it's free.
Amen.
It's free.
Amen.
You just believe what God's already said. It's free. So I'm telling you tonight, if you don't know anything about God, start with justification. Say, God, I'm done. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Forgive me of my sins. And he is what? Just to forgive you if you really ask him. There's a difference in getting caught. They were called, but now look, they were only conceived as a little germ, so it had to start in baby form. A womb of a mother. The Holy Spirit coming to birth. Now what about a birth of a woman? When you birth a child, sisters, water breaks, then you got blood and life. All right? Water breaks, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Listen, when that water breaks, you're going to have that baby. Normally, now there's instances, but when that water breaks, you better get to the hospital or wherever you need to go, because something's fixing to happen. There's something heading towards something.
Right.
All right, yeah. That thing wants to get out, and there's life waiting on them to get out. Come on, somebody,
yeah.
Y'all go to sleep if you want to, but heavenly days, the new birth ought to be the most exciting thing in your life. Don't clap because some of you asleep. You'll wake them up. It's a fervor. You got to have a fervor. Did you not get that this weekend? You got to have something that somebody else don't have. You might have to have something that your neighbor sitting there don't have. But there's something got to be inside of you that says that ain't nothing but the truth, but you got to be able to carry it forward. Well, tomorrow's Thursday. All that I got Wednesday, like a balloon. Right? Sunday, Monday, tie that thing off. Talk about babies, tie that thing off. But look, if the Pentecostal message was the last message with justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, the last three messages, the last three church ages forms the complete birth. Now listen, that's what you and I had to have. There had to be a baby born right. Not saying these were wrong, but God said whatever was happening in the first age has got to happen in this last church age.
Right.
The complete birth. We got to know when we're justified. We got to know when we're sanctified. We got to know when the baptism of the Holy Ghost fills our soul.
Amen.
Brother Ram said, just like when a woman's having a baby. First thing happens, water. Next thing, blood. Next thing, life. When they killed Jesus at the cross, what came out of his side? Water and blood. And then the life came out. Praise God, because that was me and you.
Amen.
Now watch. Here's another definition of justification. It eradicates. Now watch, it doesn't cover. It doesn't cover. It eradicates. Because listen, God won't dwell in an unclean vessel. If he doesn't forgive you of your past sins, he can't start working on you. Right. Amen. So you can be sorry that you got caught, and your sins will remain. The Bible says a repentant heart. When you really, truly say, I've had enough, God will forgive you of those sins. And he will actually throw them in a sea of forgetfulness. He won't ever remember them again. Now, the devil might, but he won't. So look, justification is it eradicates by faith in what Christ did at the cross. So we had to have faith that Jesus was even alive. We don't know that. Do you know he died? Do you know where he was buried? Oh, somebody told you. But that thing's got to come alive in you. Amen. And I don't have to go over there and stand at the empty tomb. I know there's an empty tomb because it's in here. Right. I ain't got to go look for, like Brother Chris or one of our Brother Mike said, I'm not looking for relics. Right. I don't need a belt buckle. Right. I don't need a fishing lure. You see how Catholicism just runs right into everything. Amen. Trinkets, all that stuff. Well, anyway. But it eradicates by faith in what Christ did at the cross the sins of your past nature. Now, look, it didn't destroy your nature. Right. It eradicates the sin that was attached to that nature. Right. Everybody with me? Amen. All right? But remember, the guy that did it is still there. The devil is still there. There's no hold on your past. It's gone. God can't ever bring it back up again. But now the next day, if you don't do something, that thing's going to come right back up again. And you're going to do the exact same thing you did 4 days ago, 5 days ago, 6 days. It may take longer than that. But listen, so that's why that we had to have a John Wesley to come the next church age and tell us about sanctification, which is not eradicating your sin. It's taking that thing completely out of you. Hold on. What does Luke say? Luke 11, 24 says the unclean spirit goes out. Why did he go out? He was driven out. He loved it, just like my cats at home. They'll lay down right between our legs, and they'll snuggle. And you can't get them up for nothing. Just like you could throw them, and they'd still be asleep. Satan was comfortable inside of your soul. He was comfortable with the things you did. That's why you didn't come to church. That's why you didn't come around your mom and daddy. That's why you didn't want to talk about the Lord. That was uncomfortable. With the guy that was inside of you. But praise God, you go through justification. Hey, I had to realize, you had to realize, if you're born again today, you had to realize God eradicated your sin. Amen. He eradicated your past because he can't hold anything against you if he don't know what it was. And if he didn't get it, listen, if he didn't get rid of everything, he didn't come in. God don't do halfway stuff. Right. You got to give him your all. Right. Then the outer court, as we were talking about before, the outer court, remember there was an outer court, inner court, and the Holy of Holies. The outer court, if it rained, you got wet. There was no covering. You could walk around there. There's many people today, Brother Ram says, that never went any further than the outer court. Now watch what he says. This will trip you up. That's never went any farther than the outer court, the veil. Yet they are Christians by the millions. Hold on. They enjoy Christ in an outward form. Amen. They go to church with the consolation of knowing they belong to a church. Spoken word church, would you like to realize what I just said? They go to church with the consolation of knowing they belong to church, but they have never become hid away with him in the inner court. So there is a difference in being saved and being new birth or being born again. You can have salvation and not be born again. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I guarantee you, you confess your sins. If you go outside and get killed in a car wreck, you're going to heaven, but you're not bride. Because right. God's got to justify something. Come on. God's got to justify something, so he justifies you enough to get you into heaven, but you're not going to be bride. Bride is somebody that's connected to him, that has a part of him inside of him, inside of them. Part of him inside of them. And what marriage is? We connect with each other. Yet they are Christians. They enjoy Christ in an outward form. That's why you see people, they disappear from church, then they come back. They disappear, then they come back. Then they disappear. God, what? Cloudy days, sunny days, rainy days, rainy days. They don't show up. When everything's going right or their favorite preacher shows up. Praise the Lord. They'll just come by the flocks. They're still in the outer court. They think they got something. And it is. It's an outward expression. But I'll promise you, you keep going and that old thing's going to pop up. I promise you it will. Seen it before. But they've never been hid away with him in a court. Because if you go to the next part, you open the curtain and go into the next part, only the priest can go in there now. Now, all of them can't. The priest can, but the high priest goes on through. But priests can go here because they have candlesticks. That's artificial light. They have some manna there. They have different things. That's sanctification. That's clean. Listen, maybe there was 250 people in the outer court. But now when you go to that middle court, only the priest can go in. So that does away with a group of people. That, am I making sense? That does away with a group of people in their walk. I just got that. In their walk. But now remember, that group of people, they don't get to go in the Holy of Holies. Only one, the high priest, walks right by them, goes right into that Holy of Holies. They have to stay out here. They're clean enough to stay out in here. But they're not clean enough to go in there. That's why you have to be justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Listen, let's worship him in the inner court. Let's get the Shekinah glory back into our life. Let's get it where it's just you and God, not you and God and the preacher. Where it's you and God, and you talk to him yourself. Come to church prayed up. Come to church and say, God, give me something tonight. Give me something today. He'll give it to you. But if you walk in here, I started to say something. If you come in here numb brain, you ain't going to get nothing. Well, it's Wednesday night. Can't hardly get you here on church on Wednesday night either. But I tell you what, I don't know how some people can be Christians and not and just going to church is secondary. I don't see how you're Christian. I'm sorry. Listen, hey, I'm the shepherd now. I got to smell like my sheep. So I got to get in there with them. But I promise you, you're missing God. You're missing something. God one day may tell you later on in your life and say, look, I was there that night for you. I was coming right to your place, and it was empty. That's why I want to be. That's why Brother Bram said, every time the door opens, a Christian ought to be in church. Amen. Your soul, listen, not my soul, everything. Come on, we do it. We work. We play. But not Sundays and Wednesdays. We come to church. That's kind of our schedule. Has been since Dad brought us up as little kids. That's why I said we've been drugged all of our life. We were drugged to church when we didn't want to go. But praise God, I got part of that inoculation one day. And they didn't have to find me to come to church. They found me in church. Where'd they find Jesus? They found him in church.
Amen.
If Jesus had to go to church, so should we.
Amen.
Well, you don't know my problem. Well, we can talk about it, but let's go back to the Bible.
Right.
Much more as the day approaches, you should be in church. Because you're not going to make it by yourself.
Right.
You're not going to make it alone. You will not make it. You will fall.
Right.
You will not make it.
Amen.
Oh, so, real quick. Let me cover this right here. Now, look, let's go back to Revelation 3:7, the Philadelphian church age. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that's holy, he that's true, he that hath the key of David. I'm going to explain that in just a second. He that openeth, no man shutteth, no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I am set before thee an open door. Let's stop right there, and I'll go to the comments and look. The word Philadelphia means the love of brethren. I was talking to Brother Andre a couple of days ago, and that's what the problem is now, is the love of brethren. If somebody's against you or you're against somebody, you don't even want to be around them. Well, that's not the way Brother Ram said. That's not the way that right there is supposed to be. Brotherly kindness is you love them more if they're against you. Jesus told us, he said, pray for your enemies. Do good to those that despitefully use you. You know why? Because you heap coals on his head. You do something good to somebody and they're like, I hate you. Why are you doing this to me? I said, well, I don't care if you hate me or not. I've got something to do. No, what we do is get toe-to-toe with them. Well, which one are they going to see? Where are they going to see a difference? If you're back and forth with them. Well, praise the Lord anyway. I know thy works. Behind I've set thee an open door. No man can shut it. Thou hast a little strength. In other words, they had a name. They were coming out of that system. And they were becoming Christians again. Not like they weren't before. But they're becoming where Martin Luther, separate. John Wesley, more separation. John was giving us a way of sitting in church and having song service first and having money, tithe taken up and having missionary work and going and doing this. That's why they were called Methodists. It was a method of doing a service. Everybody with me? So they had a little strength too, but that it was an unfulfilled age in that time too. Now we know they all lapped over. So we know that John Wesley, he just built right on. He took Martin Luther's justification and pulled it up and stacked sanctification on top of it. He didn't do away with that justification. He knew. He didn't say, oh, now we ain't got to listen to that guy over there. He said, man, the just shall live by faith, and we got to live a clean life. Because the Holy Spirit was pulling that out of him in that church age. And talking about a fervor, he preached 800 sermons in 1 year. We get about 50 if we're good. The Sardesian church age started the Reformation that must still go on to the grain that was planted at Pentecost. Goes through the full cycle of planting, watering, nourishing, till it comes right to the original seed. We have now come to that point of time. We are at the original seed time. God said, no, don't harvest them now. Let them all grow up. I'll separate the wheat and the tares.
Right.
So let God do the separate.
Amen.
All right? That's where church was married to the state, but I believe now we're married to Christ in this last church age.
Amen.
Fully. John Wesley was the church age messenger. He born in 1703, died in 1791. It was John Wesley. Remember all that. He was one of 19 children. You sisters worry about 3 or 4. Sister Wesley taught every one of them at home. Did their drawers. Hung them up on a line and still taught them how to talk and read. And if you'll remember, Brother Branham makes a point here, and I won't go too far, but I'll finish in just maybe this weekend. He was born to Samuel and Susanna Wesley. Samuel Wesley was not very well thought of. He was a stickler for a method. So nobody liked him. They wouldn't let him preach. They kicked him out of a certain place. He'd come back again. They'd kick him out again. But what happened one night is all of the kids were gone except John. And the house caught on fire. He was on the second story. They run in to see if they can find him. They couldn't find him. Now, of course, everything's made out of wood back then. So the wood was falling in, and somebody happened to look up through the smoke. And what John was doing, he was trying to push a piece of furniture into the window to break it. Well, finally they found him. They saw him up there. And one guy run around the back and come up the backside, and they got down at the bottom to catch him, but they threw him out and a man come out. Because remember, Brother Branham says that John Wesley was a firebrand snatched from the fire. He literally was. But he was a firebrand preacher. That put a fire in him. Maybe we ought to be caught in an upper room with a, come on somebody, with a fire going off and you can't get out of there by yourself. And let God show up and help you out. I promise you, you'll be a firebrand. You'll think a lot different. You'll talk different. You'll act different. Amen. When the fire of God hits you, I promise you that. But that's his father said, John, you're a firebrand snatched out of the fire. And that lit a fire in him, I guess, to preach 800 sermons and over 4,000 in his lifetime. He bids the stick. He did all these different things. But they were called Methodists and other titles. Actually went to Georgia for a little while. Total disaster, though. Because you know what John Wesley did? He went over there thinking that he was born again. He went all the way to Georgia to convert the Indians, them heathens, to convert them into Christianity. He meets the Moravians. He's so impressed with them. They're so meek. There's a storm coming up, and the boat's falling apart, and they're just down there singing, and John's probably puking and not having a very good time. But when he comes back to England, that's what he said. He said, I went to America to convert the Indians, but oh, who shall convert me? He knew he didn't have what those people had. I knew I didn't have what the bride had. You need to realize that. Find you some bride. Get around them. That's why I said you need to be in church. But back in London, he met them again. And we keep going again. Charles actually said, John, come on, buddy. Come on, brother. You were born again way over here. And John said, No, sir. He could not understand how such a spiritual man as John should say that he was not formerly right with God. It was, however, not long that Charles got a fire. Amen. He was saved by grace. The work soon took on such proportion that he began sending out numerous laymen. Now look, it was an open door. Travel was a lot better. You could go by boats and all different things. Travel was better. So what he would do is he'd get numerous people. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? Paul did the same thing. Paul would go to an area, he'd get them all built up, he'd get some good preachers in the area, and then he'd leave and let them do the work. So the same way, what was John Wesley doing? The same thing. He was getting laymen to preach the word. This seemed like a parallel to Pentecost, where the Spirit raised up men with power to preach and teach the word almost overnight. Of course, there was a violent opposition to it. Remember I told you that time they kicked John out because they kicked his daddy out, and they kicked John out. So John's daddy was buried in a courtyard somewhere and on a mausoleum about this high. So John runs over there and jumps up on top of it and starts preaching. And the people from the church come down and said, you got to leave. He said, no, my daddy bought this property and now I own it. You can't take me off of this. Do we have that fervor, or would we have done, you know, wowsy. Watch this right here. He could not remember to have felt lowness of spirit for even a quarter hour since he was born. None of y'all done that. He slept no more than 6 hours a day. Arose in time to start preaching at 5 practically every day of his ministry. preached up to four times in a single day. So a year, he would average 800 sermons. He traveled multiple thousands of miles on a horse, as did his circuit riders who carried the gospel near and far. Wesley traveled 4,500 miles per year by horse. He must have had a good warranty. He was a believer in the power of God, and he prayed for the sick with great faith and wonderful results. Let's skip through this just for a minute. I want to get something to you. This is what John said. Now, this is where John Durrett was. He could have been wealthy, but he didn't. His favorite saying was, get all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. Amen. How strange it would be for Wesley to come back and see the denomination that bears the name of Methodist. Boy, wouldn't he? Amen. Having Gay Pride Week in the church. Gay Pride Month in the church. Saw it on YouTube. Guy standing there with the color flag all behind him. But look, folks, that's not deceiving. We know that's garbage. But what about the deception that eats at us, the little foxes that spoil the vine? They're vastly rich, but the life and power of John Wesley is missing. He didn't desire to build a work upon a denomination or sectarian basis. He was Armenian in his beliefs. He did not want to separate from the brethren on the grounds of doctrine. He was a good candidate for James. He based his eternal life on faith and works, or the living of the life rather than simply accepting a creed or a doctrine statement. So now, what's the difference then in what Martin Luther preached and what John Wesley preached? Listen to me a minute. Martin Luther preached, just shall live by faith. That's it. That's it. Come over here to sanctification, though, and watch what John Wesley preached. He based his eternal life on faith and works. Right. Martin Luther based his on faith alone. Right. Remember, he interpreted the Bible. He interpreted his German Bible says by faith alone. But you take that, and he stood on it, and it was part of God. But now you come over to John Wesley. He based his eternal life on that faith and then working through it. So what is sanctification? Justification does what? Declares you're righteous for that moment. Declares you're righteous. Praise God. Grab a hold of that if that's where you're at. But there's more. Because you got to come over here to where the unclean spirit goes out. You got to come over here to where you start living more godly, that the devil hates to be around you. So sanctification is what? It's a gradual growing righteousness. Think about it. Because remember, I'll promise you one thing in sanctification. There's some of them devils that run pretty quick. And there's some of them that claw the walls. Getting out of your soul. Well, praise the Lord. I'm preaching to me. There's some of them that was easy for you to get rid of. There was some of you. It was hard. Cigarettes. Donnie don't mind. A while, wasn't it, Bubba? Yes, sir. But it's gone. Amen. But that devil was going, chalkboard. And when he finally gave it up, that demon was gone. Amen. We believe in demons here just as much as we believe in Jesus Christ. Because they're real. Amen. And they do influence you. But Luke 11 says the unclean spirit goes out of the man. So sanctification is our gradual growing righteousness in that part. All right? Made possible by the Spirit of God. That's why we got to get under the influence of God, not under the influence of a creed, or not under the influence where Satan can hide behind it. Right. Well, I've quit smoking. Have I got to quit drinking too? Or in your case, I quit drinking. I got to quit smoking. Come on, just a little bit more. No, God knew one thing's for sure. I never did smoke, but I chewed tobacco since I was 14, I guess. And he knew that would be rough. So the day I give my heart to God, the last day that thing, any of that ever, the desire was absolutely gone. Now remember, there was other them devils going, but that one was gone just like that. Amen. The day I came right up here in December, gave my heart to the Lord and said, I'll serve you, Lord, just give me some time. I walked back out that door. I had skull everywhere. I had my red man, and I had all this stuff, and I had to. And boy, the devil, you know, he lets you find it every once in a while. You know, after about 3 weeks, you find one that you didn't throw out, like the cigarette pack. You find one you didn't throw out, and you're like, the unclean spirit goes out. So now we're in sanctification. We'll get to the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a little bit. But a sanctified life is made possible by the Spirit that will not dwell in you, but it's getting ready to. Because remember, sanctification is what? Cleaned and set aside for some kind of service. Cleaned and set aside for some kind of service. I think I got it down right here. We'll skip. We'll get back to this weekend. Let's stand. Musicians, come. Guess I spent too much time backgrounding. I'm sorry. Cleaned up and set aside for use or a purpose. Cleaned and set aside for, because remember, in justification, you're not clean. Hello? Right. Now, what it is that them old sins that was on your piece of paper that the recording angel was recording since you come to the age of accountability, it went to nothing. But remember, that unclean spirit that made you do it, it's going to be with you, and it's going to start accumulating again. Everybody with me? But what happens when you get born again? That's what your book looks like. That's what your book looks like to God. Now, to everybody else, we're like, oh, you got this, and you're this, and this, and this, and this. What is Satan's job? He's the accuser of the brethren. When we start loving the brethren more than Satan loves to accuse them, we'll get in a lot better place with God. Pray for our enemies. Do good to those who despitefully use you. That's what Jesus told us to do. Let's sing a song. Justification, part of the Holy Ghost. Sanctification, part of the Holy Ghost. It's a work. Listen, how many of you can forgive yourself for your own sins? Nobody. How many of you can clean yourself up? Nobody. Right? Luis, Christine, God bless you. Y'all have a good trip. We'll pray for them. Let's sing a song. You can't clean yourself up. You can't forgive yourself. So you got to depend on what he did. You depend on him.
But Jesus took me in. And then let life from heaven fill my soul. Oh, he bathed my heart in love. And he wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he'll answer by and by. And when feel little prayer will turn in, no little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my past seems drear. That ray of cheer and a cloud about me hides the light of day. Then the mist of me and it rise and hide the stormy skies. But just a little talk with Jesus clears away. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. And when feel a little prayer will turn in, know a little fire is burning. But a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Yeah. doubts and fear, eyes may fill with tears. Losers and dreams, watches day and night.
I go to him in prayer, and he knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. Feel a little prayer will turn in. Know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Amen. You love the Lord? Walk through this journey. Let's walk through it together. If you have a problem, bring it out. Talk about it. Take it to the Lord. He's just to forgive you. But you've got to believe that that's the guy you're talking to. You got to believe that that, because Satan can't take your sins away. Satan can't ever take your sins away. He wants to heap up more. But God wants to, Brother Ramsey, God wants to save you more than you want to be saved. He wants to heal you more than you want to be healed. So let's just open ourselves up and let's say, God, heal us. God, save us. God, fill us with the Holy Ghost. Be with us everywhere we go. God bless you. If you hadn't signed up, go sign up downstairs. And we will come back Sunday and have regular normal service on Sunday. Both services, and then next Wednesday, Brother Bob will be speaking for us, and then we'll be leaving on Friday going to Brother Andre's for the weekend. And like I said before, we'll be live streaming. For those of you that can't go, you can watch it at home, and we'll live stream it there into your house. So thank you for the visitors coming. God bless you. Lord be with you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the day that you've given us. Thank you for the life that you've given us, Lord. We ask you to forgive us, Lord, of our mistakes and failures, Father. We ask you, Lord, to just reveal yourself to us, Father. Lord, may that light shine on the word more than ever before, Father, and show us where we're at and what we're doing here. And the things that we need, Lord. The things that we need, Lord, that you will bring out with the ministers, Lord, and the songs and the different things, Lord, through the brethren and sisters, talking to each other, Lord. I pray that you'd just be at the center of everything we do, Father. Be with us, Lord, as we go on the highways. Till we get back here on Sunday, Lord, I pray that you keep everybody safe, Lord. Just bless us, take care of us, lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit, and let the word be more important to us than anything, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. Hear our faintest cry.